went and passed the peace of Christ by shaking hands with your brothers and sisters, letting them know that it's good to see them one more time.
Thank you. Thank you, God.
The preaching text is lifted from the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1. Job 1 and 1. The word of God reads as thus. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Our subject for this text, a man named Job. A man named Job. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing this body of Christ to assemble in this place. We are the church, and we have come to worship you. Prepare us even now for the receiving of your word. Allow your word to search us through and through. And as your word is searching us, whatever it finds that should not be there, we pray, God, through your power, that it will be removed and will be strengthened. Another time you have given me to stand before your people, to preach and to teach your word. Father, I ask for the proper anointing for this task. That will make preaching easy and will bring clarity to your word. Continue roaming all over this house, doing for us and to us like no one else can. Have your way in this place. This prayer we lift in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. A man named Job. Those of you that are familiar with Job, I want to ask you, what kind of mental picture do you get when you hear the name Job? Most of us see a poor man. His body covered with painful sores, sitting on a heap of ashes, quivering in a mass of suffering humanity. Some of us see him as a plaything of Satan, perhaps the most upsetting thing is that his suffering was permitted by God. In his sovereign wisdom, God allowed Satan to unleash on Job some inconceivable, horrible stress test. The book of Job is a blow-by-blow account of how Job fared in this supernatural wind tunnel that God allowed him to go through. There were fearful moments when he came frighteningly close to the brink of utter despair. But buried deep within Job was the spark of faith that God had placed there. Thanks be unto God. If that spark had been snuffed out, and if Job had given up, then the rest of us might have reason to give up when life gets too painful. But we have a Bible character this morning that went through a tremendous amount of things, but he held on. In spite of his unanswered questions and agonizing frustrations, the spark of faith not only remained in Job, but in the end, it was famed into a blaze of faith and glory. So I say to you at this point of the sermon, hold on to your faith. The author of this book, this ancient book, which may be the oldest book in the Bible, tells us that Job lived in the land of Uz. We know practically nothing about Uz except that it is mentioned in the book of Genesis. Job, the focus of the text, is described with two words. First word, blameless. Second word, upright. The word translated blameless into the Hebrew meaning lets us know that blameless means whole, complete, innocent, and secure. He had a simple faith in God. The second word that is used in the text to describe him is upright. Upright means straight, even, just, pleasing, and agreeable. This character of our text was blameless, and he was upright. Today, one of the highest compliments that can be bestowed on anyone is that he or she is considered to be straight and just in all of their dealings. Not someone that is crooked and deals under the table, but someone that is straight and just. As I look at Job, I see here that Job was well liked. And he was the kind of citizen that anyone would love to have to live in their community. The author gives us the secret behind the uprightness and the sincerity of Job as we look at the text and examine it closely. We find here that he was one who feared God. That is, he was one that worshiped and he was one that reverenced God. Job recognized God's majesty and God's power, and he recognized that God was approachable through prayer. He recognized that he could talk to God and God would not be like us. That God would not tell him, "I don't have time to listen to you again." He recognized that God would not tell him to come back 2 or 3 hours later. But the relationship that he had with God, he knew that God was approachable. So we find here that Job was also a man that shunned evil. And it seemed like today, instead of this world shunning evil, it seemed like we are running in the direction towards evil. We find here now the remarkable aspect about all of the suffering Job underwent is that God ratified it. Whatever Job was going through, God had placed his seal upon it. So from the inception of his suffering, God knew. God described Job to Satan in the same terms the author uses to describe him in our text. We find here that God had the amazing bottom line thing to say about Job. He says in chapter 1, "There is none like him on this earth." I hear, Satan, what you're saying. And I notice that you're trying to bring something against him, but I want you to know that there's none like him in the earth. We see here that this is one that stood on the stage front and center. This was a man of integrity, a man that had a good relationship with God, a man that turned down evil and temptation whenever it presented itself. The Bible said that Job turned his back on evil because of his relationship with God. We need folk today to pay close attention of how Job dealt with evil and temptation. And we need to pick up this and we need to practice it, because it is nothing wrong with being tempted, because we all are going to be tempted. Being tempted is not a sin. But the temptation comes when we give in to temptation. Job was tempted, but he did not give in. And as we watch Job today, we see him from three perspectives. We see him in the physical, we see him in the mental, and we see him in the spiritual. All three dimensions of his being are affected by the thing that God allowed to come upon his life. God allowed Satan to bring overwhelming calamities into Job's life. The reason for these calamities is not found in the book, in spite of the fact that Job's three friends were convinced that Job had harbored some deep, dark wrongdoing that brought about these tragedies. You see, Job's friends, they came to visit him, and they were fine. They were all right as they visited with him. But when Job's friends messed up, they messed up the moment that they opened up their mouths. You see, some of us are fine as long as we keep our mouths closed. But when we start talking about this and that, and half of it don't even know anything about, we mess up. You see, when people really don't know what's happening, facts. When we really don't have the facts, we assume. And I'm not going to break assume down. But it can be dangerous. Are you with me here? Don't assume. Get your facts. We see Job stripped of everything humans depended upon in the text. And suddenly Job was reduced from affluent to poverty. He lost all, not some, but he lost all of his material possessions. Then his children died and his health broke. Lord, help us here. His wife could no longer bear to see her husband going through all of the agony. She could no longer visit in the room with the husband and seeing how he was in torment and turning from left to right and in deep depression over his pain. She said, Job, honey, why don't you curse God and die? Today we are saying the same thing, but we are saying, why don't you give in and why don't you give up? It is useless. You see, I've prayed and I've prayed, but there seemed not to be an answer. I go to God for one thing, and I end up getting what I thought I asked him for. I come to church on a regular basis, and I try to live the best I know how to live. But I've talked to God about some things, but I don't see anything changing in my situation. So there is no need to keep on praying. There's no need to keep on coming in the house of the Lord. There is no need to keep on lifting up his name. I just well to fold my arms. I just well to go home and sit idle and look out the window and watch the cars go by, because I don't see anything changing. Lord, I know that there's a God somewhere, but I don't see it. Seem like to me, the harder I pray, the worse things get. I just don't see any change that is coming in my direction, and I just well to give up. So what do we do when we see in the same picture of Job? We see all of the calamity that Job had to deal with, but in the midst of this, what do we see? We see emerging a fact of human life that has always caused overwhelming perplexity. You see what I'm saying here? Some days that we are up and some days we're down. Some days we're level to the ground. Some days we're fine, and some days we don't know which way to turn. Some days we go home from work with our face in our hands and we're saying, oh God, God, what's going to happen in this situation? We see the complexity. We see tragic and terrible suffering that is not the result of the sin of the sufferer. God, I am living holy according to your word, but I'm going through some things that I know, God, I did not bring to me. I didn't bring this to me, but God, I am going through it anyway. That's what we are seeing here. We see it in the text. We see it with Job, and we can see it in our individual lives. We see it in a child who suffers through no fault of her own. We see it in agony and heartbreak of parents over the sins of a wayward child. I raised him. I raised her to the best of my ability. And now they have gotten up some in some age, and the home training that I've given to them, they have walked away from their home training. It has broken my heart, but I see God. It wasn't me. I done the best that I knew to do as a mom and as a dad. I brought them to church and I taught them the word of God, but when they got older, are you praying with me? They went contrary to all that I had placed within them. We see it now. We see it in poverty and suffering of millions of folk in our world. So as we see all of these things, so the nagging and the piercing question is here, and it is relevant for the 21st century. Why do good people suffer? Why do good people suffer? Why do bad things happen to good people? People that are good in the home, in the community, on the job, in the church house. Why, Lord, talk to me. Why do bad things happen to good people and those devilish folk doing whatever they want to do? It seems as though that misfortune will pass their door and it will visit my door. God, why? God, you see me praying all the time. You see me, Lord, as I throw my hands up to you. You see me, God, as I lie prostrate before you. But God, tell me why? Why is my home always in trouble? Why, God, I make one step forward and 15 backward? God, tell me why. Well, why, God? Pray. I need you to pray me through this. I need you to pray me through this text. Because I could just stop right now and just start dancing all over the house. I could stop right now and run all over this church. Why, God? Why? Why, God? I prayed and I've anointed and I've fast, and I anointed my doorknobs. I anointed the pillowcase. Why, God, why? And hell is still being raised. Why, God, why? I turned my plate down. Why, God, I'm needing you to heal of this condition. Why, God, why? And you have not visited, God. Every time I think that I'm healed, every time that I think is in place, is back again. If you've been there, you ought to just wave your hand. That lets me know I'm not the only one that's been there. And some of us are there right now. But I have help for you before I take my seat. Oh, God Almighty. In the heavenly meeting, there was a heavenly meeting between God and Satan that resulted in Job's suffering. The devil called the question, and God was there to give an answer. I find the issue of why Job was a righteous man was posed by Satan. Satan didn't like it to see the fact that Job was a righteous man with all of his possessions. And Satan, you see, he got a little chippy.
He got beside himself and he accused God of building a hedge around Job and blessing him on every side. God did not deny that he had blessed Job. He listened to Satan, but he didn't deny, for he had protected Job and he had blessed him with great material wealth. Because I'm a believer today, if he brings us to it, he'll take us through it. I don't care what you're dealing with right now. He'll take you through it. Hear me, church. He will. God will. It may not look like it, things are happening, but God will. God will take you through it. So Satan said, stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. God, this is why he is serving you, because you have given him a whole lot of things. Satan was saying that people serve God for what they get out of him. So God said, well then, everything he has in his hands. Satan, if you're going to battle with me, I know Job, so everything that he has in his hand, but I'm not going to give you but so much leverage. I'm not going to give you but so much leverage, Satan, because I'm God and I have all power. But look at your neighbor and say, but. On the man himself, on his soul, do not lay a finger on his soul. You can wrestle with his body, but don't bother his soul. And Job became a battleground between God and Satan, between heaven and hell. Job was in the midst of a battle. But early on, I said that God had given Job the faith, and Job had the faith to hold on. Ah, some of you today may need to tie a knot at the end of your rope, because it just may get worse before it gets better. But you have to then hold on. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Today, many of us do not know the ultimate meaning of the heart-wrenching experiences that we may be passing through on today. Many of us, we don't understand the ultimate meaning of why we go through and why we have to deal with what we are dealing with. Our Lord, help us in here. What is happening may well not be because of what you have done wrong. Sometimes folk get into some things and do things and things happen, and we want to blame ourselves and said, if I had done this or if I had done that, maybe that would not have happened. But there is an ultimate meaning, and we see here that yet the text of Job suggests that there is a meaning and a value in every experience that God allows to come to us. And before we desire to get out of it, and before we desire to jump over the bridge, we need to talk to God and help God to help us to see what it is. And God, help me to get through whatever I'm dealing with. I find here that saints, the saints of God, we don't need to curse our difficult times. Sometimes we pray and we say, Lord, I want you to move my mountain. You need to be careful how you say that. You need to be careful because you might be asking God to move your child. You might be asking God to move your husband, to move your sister, to move your brother. You need to be careful of what you ask him. But you need to ask him, say, God, give me the strength. Just give me the strength. I don't understand and I can't figure it out, but give me the strength to be able to get over this mountain. Because God, it may be your desire not to move the mountain, but if you're not going to move it, then give me the strength to get over the mountain. God, if you're not going to straighten out the curve, then give me the strength to be able to go around. How many know today that God is an able God? I want you to know today, yet the text says, but there's value and there's meaning in suffering. I want you to know today that God is more than able to take that bad wind that you think that you're having right now, that is blowing against you. God is able to take that same wind and allow that wind to come under you and to lift you and change your situation. You think that's a bad wind, but God is watching over you. He sees your tears. He hears your prayer. Oh, he's aware of your agony. Are you able to change the story? Do I have one witness? That's all I need. Is there one person in here that you've seen the bad wind that tried to blow you away and was trying to take you out? But God spoke to the wind and said, wind, wait a minute here. Wait a minute here. And it took that same bad wind and flipped the strip. And the wind got under him and changed your story. Somebody ought to give him some praise. Somebody ought to give him some praise. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, he's that kind of God. Satan wanted to prove that Job served God just for the goodies. But do our lives today also prove Satan wrong? Are you serving God just for the goodies? Or are you serving him just because he's God? Thank you, Jesus. I know that Job was able to answer the part about the goodies because Job was in the dilemma. And Job said, all the days. I want you to know, Satan, you think that the reason that I'm serving God is because he has blessed me with a lot of material things. But now all of my material things have been taken away from me. But Satan, I serve you, notice that all the days of my life, I'll wait. Oh, God. Look at your neighbor and say, I wait. I'll wait until my change comes. It may not come when I want it, but my change is on the way. Give him some praise. Give him some praise. My change may not be like I like it. My change may not be at the right hour. My change may disturb me on the inside, but I wait. Oh, God, I'll wait until my change comes. Yeah. It's coming. Yeah. Oh, God is coming. Yeah. Somebody said it's a bad wind that don't never change. It's coming. Give him some praise. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Encourage your neighbor. Shake your neighbor's hand. And say, it's on the way. It's on the way. Oh, God. It's on the way. It's on the way. Your healing is on the way. Your breakthrough is on the way. Oh, God. Oh, just hang in there. Just hang in there. I don't care what the doctors say. I will trust in the Lord until I die. I know a doctor above the earthly doctor. He is able. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad that I'm not serving him for any goodies, because there are times in my life my back is against the wall. There are times in my life I'm flat to the ground, but I will trust. Oh, I will trust in the Lord until I die. I don't care what may come. I'm going to keep on worshiping him. I'm going to keep on praising him. And I'm going to keep on telling others of all of his goodies. I don't know about you, but if he doesn't bless me anymore, he has blessed me enough to keep on praising him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hang on in there. Hang on in there. I know that if we hang on in there, God will turn it around. Job lost everything that he had. But keep on reading. Keep on reading. The same God that allowed Satan to come in Job's house among Job's property and take everything away, the same God, before Satan died, the same God blessed him with double. The same God showed up strong. He'll show up strong in the end. He is a strong God. Bless Job to live for 140 years. Blessed him to see his children and 14 generations. He's all right. My soul is happy. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. So church, what I may not get through all of that I'm trying to get through, but one thing I can agree with the hymn knowledge is I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Though you may not have a friend, he'll go with you until the end. The Lord will make a way. Yes, he will. I have a Savior. I can tell my troubles too. When I'm burdened and don't know what to do, I go to him and seek with prayer and leave my burdens there. I know the Lord. I know the Lord will make a way somehow. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, yes, he will. 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 Give him some praise. Give him some praise. If you believe he will, give him some praise. Yes, he will. 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 It might get dark. It might get gloomy. Satan may come and do some things against you just to frighten you. But yes, the Lord will make a way. You may lose your job or you may have to transfer somewhere else. But the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. If I have somebody in here, I just need three witnesses. I just need three witnesses. Just three witnesses that don't mind giving God a crazy praise, to say, yes, he will. Satan, I see what you're doing. I see how you're trying to block my path. But yes, you will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He will feed me when I'm hungry. He'll clothe me when I'm naked, without a job. He'll take care of me. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. it will. Why don't you praise him? Why don't you praise him for your yes, he will? Why don't you praise him for your yes, he will? Clouds may be hovering, wind may be blowing, but you praise him for yes, he will. He'll break through. He'll come and see about me. He'll turn it around. Yes, he will. Yes, he will.